The Dana Cortez Show podcast begins now.
2 days later, and people are still talking about the Super Bowl, and some of you feeling that hangover. Good morning. It's the Dana Cortez Show inside the T-Mobile studios. I'm Dana Cortez.
DJ Automatic.
I go by Anthony A.
And congratulations to the Philadelphia Eagles, because next year it's Cowboy season.
It is.
I'm just telling you, Dallas Cowboys will be at the Super Bowl next year. No,
delusional,
I mean that.
Just like every other Cowboy fan.
Who's your team, Automatic?
The Vikings. And so, you don't hear me saying they're going to win because I know they're not going
to
win.
Automatic, you told me you were going to borrow the money against the home if they went to the Super Bowl. Don't lie.
Well, good thing you guys' home is never getting put up. That's
Anthony, you're a Raiders fan.
Yeah. Well, at least he's won some Super Bowls, okay?
Yeah, we have.
In the last, what,
not in
50
a while.
Years?
Not in a while, but hey, we're there.
Okay, so Philadelphia fans, congratulations, whatever. We're 2 days later. Why do you think it matters so much to you about this football thing when you don't really have any skin in the game? Like, why is it such a sport that people gather around the TV? Like,
it's fun.
For me, it was more about the party, you know, the food and everything else. I don't really get it. I'm sorry.
You don't understand team sports?
I do, but it just seems odd that these grown men are running around a field and everybody's really excited about it.
I'd rather root for sports than root for politics. So for me, it's easier just to pick a side when it comes to sports. I like it. I enjoy it.
Anthony, you had me at that.
Yeah.
I love football.
The way you feel about us and rooting for sports is the way I personally feel when I see people argue about politics. And I just think... It's like pick a team. In America, we love to do this. We love to have a team that we root for and a team that we hate. And this right now in this little game, it's a football game at the end of the day. It doesn't really matter.
That was a good analogy.
It's a fun thing to root for. And that's what I'm here for.
Yeah. So I don't want to talk about politics. So what's National Day?
We have National Don't Cry Over Spilled Milk Day.
That's how I feel about politics.
You hear that?
No, that's how I feel about politics too. All right.
And it's also National Peppermint Patty Day.
Peppermint Patty.
Oh, so not the one from Charlie Brown.
No, not the one from Charlie Brown.
Like, she was a little
the delicious
girl.
Delicious ones.
You remember her, right? Peppermint
Of course,
Patty
yeah.
from Charlie Brown?
Ooh, yeah.
Explain love to me, Chuck.
I always thought she had a crush on Charlie Brown. But he liked the little redhead girl.
Spicy.
Yeah, I was going to say, hot take on Charlie Brown there.
I was into the cartoon. Sorry, what's next?
And we'll wrap it up on National Inventors Day. This day has been around since 1983, encouraging you to patent your idea if you have one. Get out there and become a millionaire.
I have an idea. Now, hear me out on this. I thought about creating this giant bubble wrap cover for people who own cars and don't own garages that live in places that have hail.
Oh.
And so you roll it out and put it over your car so it doesn't get hail damage.
Okay, all
That's
right.
about as good as my splatter platter idea. You guys remember the
splatter platter?
Well, it's a bigger plate for your little plate. So when I'm eating, all the food that falls out of my mouth goes into the splatter platter.
You're talking about messy men?
Yeah.
I like this. Dude, we already coming up with a great term for the splatter platter for your messy men. I think this is the idea we should submit today, the splatter platter.
Yeah, it's definitely better than your bubble wrap idea. I'm sorry.
Why?
Because it's not a good idea. That's why.
I think my idea was good. 877-730-DCS1. I want to know, would you buy this to cover your car? Jeez.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Bill Belichick's girlfriend is very young. He's 72 and she's 24.
48-year age difference.
And they appeared at the NFL Honors.
Yep.
You know, there's a lot of football stuff going on. Obviously, it's the week after the big game. And I saw her. I swear, I'm not kidding. I thought that was his granddaughter. Until he put his arms around her in a way that indicated...
I don't think your granddaughter would wear a dress like that.
Well, maybe she would. She probably would. But the way he was holding her, I was like, wait a minute. They're not related. They're together.
There it is, my man.
And... age difference.
That's what people keep pointing out, the age difference. I don't understand that too, but they do have a lot in common. Number one, their love for rings. All right, if you know anything about Bill Belichick, you know that he's the most winning football coach in
the
NFL.
He's got eight of those.
He has eight of those. And have you seen them when they walk the carpet together? Their rings are shining.
She has big rings?
Yeah, they both have big rings.
Did he give her those big rings?
Probably.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah, her love for big rings.
Yeah.
Now, she says
her
she
Her pursuit of a ring
yeah.
is out there,
And hey,
for
listen,
sure.
ladies talk about, they love a man who can make plans and they want somebody who do it. Why not have one of the best defensive minds strategize a date night for you right
what
there?
Kind of date
as long as date night's before 8 p.m.
That's what I was going to say. What kind of date are you going on with Bill Belichick? Now, I don't know if they do have a lot in common or whatever the case faces. You know, this woman seems like a sweet person. It just seems, I don't know, like, what are they going to do? What, you, she's 24, he's 72. It just, it's odd to me. And I'm not an ageist. And I you know, I just wonder why he doesn't date somebody his own age. Why would he not date someone his own age?
They don't look like
age?
Jordan Hudson.
That's what I'm saying. He doesn't look like...
So you know the story of how they met, right? They met on a plane. They were flying in first class, and she was working on her homework, and he...
Yeah. Wait a minute. Stop.
She was a college student.
What was she doing?
She was working on her homework.
Okay, go ahead, DJ.
They struck up a conversation about the work that she was working on.
Grandpa came in to help.
And then they said that it felt natural, and they just started talking after that and texting, and then a relationship bloomed from there.
Did she know who he was?
She said she didn't know who he was.
No, Riz Belichick is who he is. Shout out to him, dog.
I wish them the best of luck. I just wish, I'm just going to say it. I just think that it's kind of weird and hurtful in a way that he wouldn't date somebody his own age. And that Anthony would kind of solidify the reason why, because as women get older, it's like, why would I want to date someone that looks like me? I mean, he's not young. He's not handsome. And she's very young. And so it's like, okay, so somebody his own age might have trouble finding someone because men feel
but
that way.
Because of, you know, our great advances in science, they can have a relationship. Because facts. Without science...
That's what this really...
What do you mean our great... What are you talking about advances in
without science? Without science, without certain medicine...
You have to leave it there.
There would be no relationship. And I'll just say that.
Yeah, hopefully, you know what? She probably doesn't let him take that medicine.
It's not good for his heart.
She just wants to hang out with old Bill. You know what I'm saying?
But if you're not an ageist, then why does the age matter? Like, what's up?
No, because I think that you should. Because what I just said, as I get older, I hope my husband continues to love me. You said, they don't look like that. I'm not going to look like that in 20 years.
I used to make
years.
A joke with Dana that I say when she turned 40, I'm going to change her in for 2 20-year-olds.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, now we know where this is coming from. Now this makes sense.
Which I would never do.
Sorry, Dana, I didn't know your husband said that to you. I would not have took this stance if I'd have known
you're
that.
You're stirring
that
the pot, Anthony.
My bad, automatic. Why did you set me up like that, dude? I thought we were just doing fun takes about Bill
Belichick. You said it. I didn't say it. I tried to help you out by saying what I said 10 years ago.
Shout out Bill Belichick and pray for automatic right now, guys.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
I've been misusing a phrase pretty much, I don't know, my entire life. And until I think it was last week, I used it like that. Nobody corrected me. My dogs are barking. That meant I needed a piece of gum. My breath wasn't so fresh. Hey, my dogs are barking. Can I have some gum?
Dana Cortez.
Do you know how many times I've said that
to people? Yes, you've let me down that rabbit hole. I use that now.
Anthony.
It's because she speaks with such conviction that you just believe it.
What
we're over here taking your leadership.
I'm so red
now. We didn't know it was about your feet.
I had to look it up, and I said to Automatic, oh, my gosh, dogs are barking means my feet hurt. And he said, what? I said, my whole life.
Oh.
And I don't even know who taught me that. I don't know who taught me that, but so maybe people thought I was crazy. Hey, my dogs are barking. Can I have a piece of gum?
Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense when you ask
gum
that. Just
gum out your feet here. Ah, here. Here's
Dana,
some gum.
You got me. I was running around saying it the way you were using it. Thanks a lot. I took a girl to the wine festival a few weeks back. And she was like, I gotta go home. My dogs are barking. I offered her gum. You should have seen the look she gave me. She was like, no, my feet hurt. Why do I need gum? I was like, that's what your dogs are barking. That's why.
Gum. I'm so bad. I'm sorry. I didn't know.
I've also committed a similar crime, and it's one of the more things, I think it's one of the meanest things I've ever done in my life, because I was at a party a few years back and we were playing a game of beer pong against this girl. And if you ever played BP, you know the trash talking gets to going.
No, it does. Okay.
Right? And this girl was cooking me. She was roasting me good. She said I got a body like SpongeBob.
No.
I was like, what? And then when she could see that I got hurt on my face, she goes, I'm just joshing you.
I'm just joshing you. Yeah.
Which my sarcastic self goes, actually, it's jousting. Right?
Like
medieval, like you're knocking somebody off like a horse. Like, you said something so funny, I'm just jousting you. But come to find out, it actually is joshing, because in the 1800s, there's a man named Josh Tatum who would go around and present counterfeit money to everybody. So therefore, everyone used it as like, you're fooling me. And now there's a woman going around telling people that she's just jousting them.
You convinced her that it was jousting?
Oh, yeah. She went around the rest of the party go, oh, I'm just jousting you.
And I bet
maybe she was mocking you because...
No. She believed me, dude.
Bro, I started Googling common expressions you get wrong, and I realized I've been using one wrong my entire life.
What, Otto?
It's old wives' tale, not old wise tale.
Oh,
why? Yeah, doesn't even make sense. Old wives' tale. That
yes, it does, because it means that women back in the day used to talk about it. It's a tale, T-A-L-E.
That's right.
Well, it could be a wise tale,
no,
too.
It's
then.
Not. Oh, it's, no. That's a wise guy. That's a whole different one. You went to another one? Dog eat dog world. Do you know how many times I hear people say doggy dog world? And I want to correct them, but I'm embarrassed to correct them. And I think it's because Snoop Dogg. It's old school, so it's a doggy dog world, you know?
Or when people tell me they threw a 360 on me. What does that even mean? You mean a 180?
Oh, yeah, because a 360 means they came right back around.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
I'm so struggling. I failed geometry.
I think that's a different... It's geometry. Does that make sense?
Oh, God.
I think
it's right.
Wait a minute. I failed geometry twice, so...
Oh, wait. I was thinking geography. Damn it. I'm doing it again.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Is Drake responding to Kenny's halftime Super Bowl show? Yes and no. I'll explain after Anthony A gives us celebrity birthdays. What we got, man?
We have a friend of the show, Khalid, celebrating his birthday. What? We also have Kelly Rowland, Brandy, Young Miami, and Jennifer Aniston, along with Taylor Lautner, celebrating his birthday.
Bella! Where the hell have you been, Luca?
Okay, so, you know, the halftime show was all about taking Drake down. You know, I'm thinking to myself, he just must be sitting up in a corner, depressed. No, the guy's releasing new music with Party Next Door. And there's a skit on his timeline on Instagram that I thought was kind of funny because, you know, it's true that all I want as a woman is for DJ Automatic to say, I love you, Dana. Sometimes it's not that simple, though, for men. Take a listen.
Bro, prop up the Prada proper, bro. What do you mean? You don't get the Prada and hide the Prada, bro. You can't hide the Prada, bro.
All a shorty really wants to hear is I love you.
That's basically what I'm saying, Lucky.
So verbalize that, then.
I'm holding flowers with a bottle of
cream. Say I love you.
Are you going to tell me I'm not saying it, bro? I'm saying it, and you three minds are hearing me say it.
Bro, you got to verbalize that.
What are the streams going to look like? What's the play going to look like on radio? What are we looking at?
He'll probably have the biggest hip-hop album of the year.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, Automatic. That was, hot take right there.
How is that a hot take? I mean, who's been even close to Drake? I'm sorry, you know, Kenny might be the king right now when it comes to hip-hop, but his numbers are nowhere near Drake's. It's not even close.
You're going to have a lot of people upset with you. And
why? Because it's the truth? Yeah, this is my problem. It's okay to like Kendrick and Drake at the same time. I'm not on either one of their teams.
Well, don't yell at me.
I just said, like, these people are like weirdo trying to pick teams. Neither one of them's paying your rent. Like nobody's paying your bills there. It's okay to appreciate both the artists.
Mm-hmm. Like, you can keep your windows down when you're listening to Drake, too.
Thanks.
Of course I can. I play Drake all the time. I play at the games. I play Kendrick. I'm playing both artists. I'm not on either one of his teams.
Yeah, dude, we love Drake with the melodies.
I love good music.
We love Drake when he's, you know, rapping for the ladies. And this is what we want to see. And it's good to see him back in a lane where he dominates better than any other artist, maybe in the history of music. So, shout out to Lobby Graham for popping back out.
All right. We'll see. We'll wait for the release, February 14th, and then we'll come back here and we will give you those numbers. And we'll see about that album of the year too, Automatic. I'm gonna keep this right here.
I said number one sales.
Oh, okay. Hip-hop. Yeah, you did. Album. You said hip-hop.
That's it is pretty, a hip-hop album. Drake's not hip-hop now?
Not with him and Party Next Door, no.
So it's an R&B album?
It's an R&B album,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll check the numbers, and I'd like your thoughts. 877-730-DCS1.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Only one artist on the planet has outsold Taylor Swift this year. It's not Drake. And he says he doesn't care what you think about his music. So I'll tell you who it is and we'll play the audio. But first, Anthony A, celebrity birthdays.
We have Khalid celebrating his birthday. We also have Brandy, Young Miami, Jennifer Aniston, and Taylor Lautner.
Bella, where the hell have you been, Luca?
Okay, so Bad Bunny is the only artist who's outsold Taylor Swift, which is quite the feat. When you talk about T-Swift, you're talking about powerful. So for Bad Bunny to be able to come in and do it with an album with no English, there's no English on the album. It kind of took me aback. You know, what?
Okay, so he's outselling her worldwide or here in the U.S.?
Here in the U.S. and no, worldwide.
Okay, I was going to say, there's no way here in the U.S.
No, worldwide. And debí tirar más fotos, which means I should have taken more pictures, is such a feel-good project. He sat down with the New York Times and they were kind of like, don't you wish that everybody could understand you? There's no English on the album. You know, you're using a lot of Puerto Rican slang. Don't you want people to understand you? Here's his response.
I don't care.
I guess that's how he feels. And then he goes on to say, look, my music is about a feeling. It's about a message. It's about me. And Spanish is his first language. You know, he's
if
not going to come
speak
in.
Speak English. Just say it, Benito. Like, also, not a lot of that stuff translates over to good English. Like, what he's saying in Spanish sounds a lot more sexier than it would if it was in English. So.
You're right about that, because there's some of the stuff he's talking about that doesn't make sense in English. But don't you just feel the music?
I believe that, too. I believe that it's a lot of good vibration, and this album really seemed to come from a genuine core place within him, and that's what's resonating with everybody.
I have a theory.
What's your theory, Dana?
Okay, Automatic, let me tell you. He was with Kendall, and I think he kind of lost his way. He was kind of in that Hollywood scene for a second. Mm-hmm. Do you remember? He was out there doing weird videos with Frank Ocean, and everybody loved Frank Ocean, but it was just odd for him. And he stepped away, and he's back in Puerto Rico, and he's living there in his old, you know, space. And
recording the album that he's recorded in every time he's had a great album.
Absolutely. And he's back to his roots, and I like it.
The Dana Cortez Show Podcast.
Oh, this story, this is crazy. A California man found a 525-pound bear under his house after the L.A. fires. The bear's name is Barry.
Oh, dog.
I know. So the Southern California man, he went home and, you know, he's like, okay, my home is still standing. But then Sammy Arbid noticed this very loud, loud noise coming from a crawl space. A male black bear that was hiding from the fires.
Oh.
Thank goodness he was okay. But of course, black bears can be aggressive.
Yeah, especially when they're half a ton. That thing's dude.
And you know he had to be hungry.
Yeah, we could put him on my 600-pound life.
We could.
My
really
favorite
could.
Thing is that his name was Barry.
I love that.
That'd be like finding a dog and calling him Doggy. It's not that creative.
Barry, well, it's not creative, but it makes him sound like a divorced uncle who moved in.
And it also makes him
Barry's
sound,
on the couch again.
Yeah, Barry's over there in the crowd. Dang,
Barry, who drank all the alcohol? Barry?
It also makes him sound less menacing. I want you to really think about you walking into your home and you're grateful that it's standing because of everything that's happened. But then you see this giant bear. Have you seen videos of bears standing next to men? Grown 6 foot, sometimes close to 7 foot men? And this one weighs 525 pounds?
Jeez.
I'm surprised the man didn't run.
I'd stand my ground for my home.
Automatic, you run from a house cat. Are you trying to make me believe that you would stand up to this bear?
If I hadn't been home for a month, I'd be like, homie, you gotta get out of here.
What kind of bear was he again?
He's a black bear. Black bear, Barry the black bear.
Because they say when you see black, you're supposed to fight back, and when you see brown, lay down.
If I see bear, I say run. Why would you fight a black bear?
You're supposed to like intimidate it. Like,
make yourself big.
Yelling.
That bear probably look at me and be hungry. I'm like,
not a group of nature people here, y'all. Not us right now.
Barry was not happy when the homeowner got home. So, of course, he had to call the California Department of Fish and Wildlife. They got him out of the crawl space. Guess how?
How do they do that?
With a rotisserie chicken from the back of Costco. Just like Costco gets us.
The Dana Cortez Show Podcast.
We were talking about everybody having a type, right? And you don't think you have a type, but everybody's got a type. And sometimes dating that type over and over can keep you from real love. But there's a positive in this. Your past relationships have helped you. They've helped you grow as a person. For instance, I used to be in a really bad relationship. Actually, I was in a few really bad relationships. But you know what they taught me? To love myself. To not let anyone mistreat me. Because in order to be respected, you got to respect yourself. If you're allowing someone to treat you poorly, you're not respecting yourself, so they're not going to respect you.
So going back to what we were talking about, you recognize the toxicity, and now you realize to stay away from it.
Yes.
Well, also, too, like the misconception, too, is that thinking like that would make you selfish. Sometimes you have to be selfish in order to make sure that you also, in return, are respecting yourself and then therefore respecting your partner.
I think wanting to be respected isn't really selfish. In turn, it's the other person, if they're disrespecting you, they make you think that way. But no, love should not make you feel bad.
Or less than.
Get on your nerves sometimes, but it's never going to be disrespectful or hurtful. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess like they go hand in hand, right? You can't love a person without respecting them. Because I would almost value...
That's true, Anthony.
I would almost value respect over love, but I think they're one and the same.
They're one and the same. You can't have one without the other, man.
Yeah, for me, what I realized when I went through recent, you know, breakups or, you know, separated from partners is that to me, what matters most in my relationship is that I still have the ability to... express myself through my creative channels and do my stand-up and not have to think twice about the material that I'm doing on stage in regards to my partner's feelings.
Oh
man, that's worst.
That's the thing that
imagine if the show was like that and I had to think about Dana's feelings.
Yeah,
every
dude.
Day.
You never think about my feelings, DJ Automatic, ever.
I have a lot of comedian homies who, like, they'll come by and they'll be like, oh man, I got this one joke, but I don't know if my girlfriend's gonna like it.
No.
And I've been there before too, dude, and that, those relationships only last. Well, I'm single, so. Those don't last at all, dog.
I don't know. I've always supported you, DJ Automatic. When it comes to your career, I think it's very important for me. Yeah, I hope, Anthony, you can find that too. Automatic is my husband. I don't mind you going back and thinking about a past relationship and telling us all, what have you learned?
Don't date a...
That's a fact right there.
The Dana Cortez Show Podcast.